What's going on, Wolfpack Nation? Welcome to a special edition of Tuffy Talk, y'all. As we are rolling here, and we are excited today to be walking through, I guess, in my opinion, one of the all-time great hires for sure within the recent NC State history, I would say. And you might say, well, that's quite a statement there, Layton. But I mean, I would say that, I mean, you know, at least for me being a big time NC State wrestling fan for sure, that there was a lot of questions of, you know, is Coach Adam Hall, you know, going to take a head coaching job? If he does, who would take the position? And once the name, I guess once the word came out that Coach Hall was leaving, there was a lot of concern for me for sure. But then once I heard that Coach Zach Esposito was coming to NC State, I was like, oh man, I mean, bro, like this is phenomenal. So Coach, first of all, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you joining us here today.
You bet. And that's extremely humbling to hear. You know, you speak of that too. So, I mean, Adam is an incredible person. I've known Adam for a little bit. He was coaching at Columbia before he came down to NC State, obviously a big prospect out of Boise State as a wrestler, and you know, really, really looking forward to see what he'll do at Utah Valley. I mean, he's a worker, and I got shoes to fill for that, and you know, but I'm really excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. No, again, glad to have you here. So first of all, I mean, so far, I mean, how's your experience been like here in Raleigh? When did you get here, actually?
I've been traveling back and forth because my family's in Colorado right now still. The kids are finishing up school. So really, honestly, to tell you the truth, the month of April has been just like on a tear. We've went to the Journeyman Wrestling Tournament, then the Last Chance Qualifier, then to Raleigh for a couple weeks, then to the Olympic Trials with Trent and Isaac. And then from the trials, we actually just went to Las Vegas for the U-20s and to recruit out there also. So I got in late last night into Colorado to see my family just for a few days before going back to Raleigh. So, but that's awesome. It's been great. Honestly, you know, walking into that room, you know, in Raleigh, the guys are excited, man. They're chomping at the bit. You know, they're walking into the wrestling room with smiles on their face. They're leaving with smiles on their face. And for me as a coach, it's extremely motivating to walk in and see guys that are wanting to get better too. So, and then working with the staff, you know, Coach Pat's awesome. I mean, I've known Pat for quite a bit of time. Got to really get to know Coach Kevin Jack and Tommy. And, you know, it's been incredible. And, you know, having an addition of Jamil Kelly as our RTC coach, you know, that's an old friend of mine, you know, and went to the Olympics with him back in 2004. So, you know, it's like I'm back together with a lot of old friends. So it's awesome.
Oh, that's great to hear. Well, and so one question which I want to ask a little bit about the Olympic trials.
Yeah. But
one question which I wanted to ask just to kind of learn a little bit more, because I don't think I couldn't even necessarily understand it. I know a lot of our fans don't necessarily understand it either. But so with Trumbull and with Heidley, they both made the national team, correct?
Yes.
But they aren't necessarily competing in the Olympics. Am I correct with that?
So,
how's that kind of work?
So the Olympics is it's extremely hard to make. There's only six spots. There's six spots for women's freestyle, six spots for Greco, and six spots for men's freestyle. And in order to make that team, you have to win it. So it's an extremely hard task to do, especially the way the format is for the Olympic trials. So if you're a returning world medalist, you basically sit the entire tournament. You don't have to compete. And whoever makes it through that tournament, you get to wrestle in a best three series to make the team. And, you know, Trent had a great tournament. Obviously, if you ask him, he's pretty fired up type of person. You know, but he had a great performance for his first time making a national team. So what does making a national team mean? It means you get a lot of benefits from USA Wrestling. You get a small monthly stipend. You know, nothing too crazy. Wish it would get a little bit bigger. You get travel expenses. So national team events, like if there's a national tournament in a different country and it's a national team sponsored event, they pay for your travel, your training camps. So things like that, it's really important, but you know, it's extremely hard to make. So, you know, Trent had an unbelievable tournament. Russell Carter Sriracha, first round. You know, he dropped a close one to Chance Marsteller in the last few seconds and then came back on a tear that next day and took out Mark Hall and beat Alex Deringer and, you know, made the national team spot. Isaac Trumbull, taken second. He's made the national team, but, he lost to Kyle Snyder, who's, returning Olympic champ, Olympic bronze medalist, couple time world champ, couple time medalist, one of America's, you know, greatest, going to be one of America's greatest wrestlers of all time. And Isaac had a great match against him, had him in a lot of positions that I felt like, you know, that if we got the advantage of it, it could have made the match, you know, really interesting. And for a young guy like Isaac at, you know, 22 years old, his future's bright. So what does that mean for Isaac of making a national team? Well, he took second. So technically he's the Olympic alternate. So if, you know, something were to happen, and Kyle could not compete, then Isaac would go to the Olympics then. It's an extremely hard thing to do. You know, like I said, it's one person that makes it for the entire country. So it's a hard thing to do, but, these guys, they're on the right path to get there.
I love it. Yeah. No, I mean, again, a huge, huge win. In my opinion, I think the highlight was, Trent Hyde beating Carter Sturucci. I mean, four-time national champion, Trent beating him. That was an eye opener for sure. I mean, I'm sure a lot of experts did not expect that win whatsoever.
Well, I mean, and to do it, you know, he beat two Penn State alumni, you know, in Penn State, you know, that was something that was really big, for him to do. Definitely a good advantage for those guys to wrestle in front of their fans, sleep in their own beds, you know, have access to their stuff, their own locker rooms and that kind of stuff. So, for him to go in and do that, in front of the home crowd, especially, you know, who Carter is and who Mark Hall is, that was impressive by Trent. But Trent's an impressive person, man. He's excited to be around. He's a bull too, man. He's definitely not the funnest guy to work out with.
Yeah, that's right. No, I get it for sure. And watching, Isaac and Trent, like a lot of times, or I guess the one time I went in, had the opportunity to go in and see a practice in person, that those were the two guys that were going against each other in Isaac and Trent, which makes sense. I mean, same weight generally. And and same level for sure. And they definitely push each other really well, which is great for sure. So I want to kind of, you know, give fans a little bit of an opportunity for kind of talking about your decision to come to NC State and things like that, and just kind of help fans kind of get to know you as a wrestler a little bit. So, you know, obviously you started off, 4 years at Oklahoma State, and we're a part of actually one of the most dominant runs in college wrestling history, winning four straight team national titles. And for you, I mean, going 122-10 overall, winning a national championship to your name. What took you to Oklahoma State? I mean, besides maybe the obvious of, you know, Don Smith being the legend he is, but then, you know, talk about your time at Oklahoma State, you know.
Yeah. So originally I'm from New Jersey. I went to Blair Academy. This was back when, you know, Blair was just starting to really make a name for itself. There were a great school. There were a team that was competing, but, towards the end of my career, I think my junior and senior year is when they really, really kicked it in and started to become, really, really a powerhouse in wrestling. And I got to wrestle with a lot of great guys on it. Steve Mocco being one of them, who went on to be a two-time national champ and a lot of guys. So when I was coming out of high school, we had a good list of people to choose. And for me, Oklahoma State was it, you know, at the time, actually Lehigh was, you know, a top four team in the country, top five team in the country too. So, and my brother went to Lehigh also, and he took third and second at national. So it was really a choice of being staying home, you know, local at Lehigh, or, a guy like John Smith walks into your living room it was a big thing to be able to go out there and see it, you know, that type of tradition and everything. So, in that summer I was at the Olympic Training Center. I actually got to, work with Jamil Kelly, while he was training for the world teams, and Daniel Cormier was out there too. And just a couple other alumni from OSU. So that made an impact on me. And then, you know, it was just that choice to make, those teams like Penn State, Ohio State, all those, you know, local teams, NC State, none of those teams were really, really existed, you know, in terms of being a top team. So, so that's really what made me decide to go to Oklahoma State. And I was there for 20 years, basically. I wrestled there for four straight years. I didn't redshirt. We had, four national championship teams. The year I won a national title, we had five guys win a national title out of the 10 weight classes. You know, it was, Johnny Hendricks was one of them who went on to become a UFC champion. Chris Pendleton, who's head coach of Oregon State right now. Steve Mako, who went on to be an Olympian, was a two-time national champ, and Jake Rochold, who was a three-time national champ. So, it was a great experience for me. After that, I trained a bit in freestyle, and due to some injuries, I retired and started coaching right away. I started as a club coach at Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. Was coaching guys like Pendleton, Obi Blanc, who was a assistant coach at NC State. Obi made a world team in 2010, and Coleman Scott was just starting his freestyle career. So I was involved with those guys coaching. And then when Obi made the team in 2010, I was like, maybe I could give this coaching thing a go. Yeah. So I was a club coach. I became a volunteer coach. And then, after a volunteer coach, I became an assistant coach. And then from an assistant coach, became associate head coach. So I kind of worked my way up that ladder, and it was a great experience for me.
For sure. Well, I mean, and just to kind of summarize it here. So during your time at Oklahoma State, you had 67 All-Americans, 10 NCAA champions, 11 Big 12 tournament titles, and 69 individual conference champions. So, I mean, quite the resume for sure. What would you say was some of the most, it's very uncommon, I feel like, for a coach to really dedicate to a program and work the way up the ranks. Again, like you said, beginning as a club coach, working all the way to associate head coach. What was kind of your goal, and what would you say that what was the biggest thing that you learned as a coach during time at Oklahoma State?
Before we continue, we want to take a quick second to tell you about our sponsor, Flatlands Jessup Insurance Group, that has your whole world covered with agents in 5 offices throughout Eastern North Carolina to help you decide how much coverage you need. Offering policies for home and auto, recreational vehicles, commercial, crop, health, life, and employee benefits. They are able to combine options to find a comprehensive solution that works for you. Flatlands Jessup protects the things you love so you can spend less time worrying and more time enjoying them. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Flatlands Jessup. You can also visit their webpage at www.flatlandsjessup.com. So please make sure to go and check them out.
Oh, man. I mean, there was a lot of things you learned. I mean, you ran into so many different successes, ran into some failures, ran into a lot of different things. I think I've learned how to stay with guys, on their career path, guys that just get there and they may not be the top recruit. But the way they work and the way their effort is and the way you put time into them, all of a sudden, they become the person that you didn't even expect. It's incredible what an environment can do. That's one thing that I learned there also, is that when you surround yourself with good people and you surround yourself with highly motivated people, it's extremely important. So for me, I learned that if you create that environment, you create that a good environment, it's a way that, people are overachieving. So, my job as a coach, is to really build that full, human being, mm-hmm. in a sense of a person that could take care of themselves, that, when they graduate, a fully functional person. How do you do that? I mean, obviously through your mentorship, but also the people that you surround them with, and having that and creating that environment is something that we had, especially when we won those 4 titles straight. And I think that's the biggest thing I learned, is that, who you surround yourself with is who you become. And I think that was probably the most, most important thing that I learned there too. You just can't wing it. You just can't just throw the best wrestlers in the room and think that that's going to be, the answer. We've had top recruits come to Oklahoma State and didn't pan out. And we had guys come that were, you know, a one-time state champ in Oklahoma and go on to be multiple time national champ. You know, being able to look at that kind of stuff, something that was really beneficial for me.
And I mean, you know, to kind of build off that too, I know a few years ago, when NC State wrestling was still kind of on the ups, that NC State had the opportunity to come compete at Oklahoma State. And I know maybe now it's a little bit interesting in it, but I think maybe a lesson that day was, hey, NC State wrestling is not a name to be overlooked.
Yeah,
anymore.
I mean, that was. Yeah, that year, I mean, they made a huge name for themselves. They came into Stillwater and actually beat us when I was on. We ended up bringing out two. We burned two guys' red shirts after that dual meet. Joe Smith came out of red shirt right after that, and a guy named Kate Brock came out of red shirt after because of that duel. Wow. But yeah, NC State that year, I think that's when they really, really Coach Pat. Made a huge name for himself, where he beat Oklahoma State, Missouri, and Iowa all in one year. And all of a sudden people are like, wait a minute, we could go down south to nice weather and get good wrestling.
I love that.
So, that was something really, really cool to, mm-hmm. From the outside looking in, something to admire about, at the time, you're pretty pissed off and motivated by it. But, yeah. From a professional perspective, I mean, that was impressive to show that, like you said, you create the environment, you get the right people there and the right people that believe in it. And you can make a huge impact. And that's what he did that year. And it was breakthrough year, especially then winning a team trophy, later on the road. I mean, those were hard to come by,
Oh yeah, no doubt. And I mean, kind of talk to me a little bit too. I mean, I know when we had spoken at the fundraiser, you had said that, you and Coach Pop have been very, very close, for a long time. And so to make sure I have it correct, did Coach Pop, was he still there when you had arrived?
No, he just
missed you.
He just left. He just left when I got there. So he graduated in 2002. And then I got there in 2002 or the fall of next year. But, throughout the years I've known him, I've worked with his brother a lot with camps, him being a New York guy and me being a Jersey guy. It was kind of like I said to people, it's like, I feel like I'm working with an older brother, more than a coach. So I think that's the really cool thing about it. But he was on his way out as I was on my way in. But right away, when you go out to Oklahoma and you see another East Coast person, it's like automatically you just take to each other.
You can just tell, right? There's just differences between the East Coast and Oklahoma. So I got you.
Yeah, your accent's the same. You talk about the same food. You complain about the same thing that you can't get in Oklahoma that you get back east. You complain about the pizza. You complain about the Italian food. Yep. those kind of things. So, and then these people think they know what it is. It's not. So. Yeah, that's funny.
That's awesome. I love it. And so kind of talk to me too, as you're, serving as that associate head coach, I'm sure just like you said, you're keeping tabs on NC State. What do you think has been the most, impressive thing that NC State has been able to accomplish so far in order to, I think, finally enter that elite, quote unquote, tier of wrestling?
Yeah. Stability. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that Coach Pat has done. And, he does that with the culture. That's the most important thing thing that you can see from a head coach is that the one thing you can say about NC State, especially from the outside looking in and now being there, you see stability, you see consistency, and that is, as a coach, is what you want from a program, that you're gunning for a national title, you're gunning for team trophies, and if you do fall, you're not falling too far. It's kind of like, you look at NC State's year this year, they had an incredible dual season and, at the national championships, may not have had the performance that you wanted, but still at the same time, there's other programs out there that would kill for the finish that NC State had. And the one thing I learned at Oklahoma State and now what Pat has built at NC State is that, they created an expectation. And that's a tough thing to kind of manage now, because before, you know, anything you did that was positive was bonus, you know, was great things. Well, now you come into it and you're going like, you know, why didn't we finish in the top 10? You know, you finished 11th. And it's like going like, hey, that's awesome. That's awesome that we have that expectation now. That's awesome that people think of that of us right now, because that is very true. That is very true. This is the culture. This is the standard that we met. And that's why a person like myself, you know, wanted to go to NC State, is because he's built that stability. He's built that consistency, and he's built this standard that, you know, I'm not walking into a program that is hoping to get there. It's a program that now we expect it, we want it. And now, you know, we need to make that push so that we're constantly in that top five talk every year. Yep,
that's right. And so, you know, kind of last question here to wrap up this part one here. So obviously the news came out, you know, what was it, about a month ago or two months ago, that a legendary coach, John Smith, that we had already mentioned, is retiring. So, you know, kind of talk to me about, have you been in touch with Coach John?
But John, I text with him. You know, John's a, you know, we've known each other for forever. I mean, heck, his daughter was my flower girl, my wedding. I mean, he was, you know, we were really close. You know, he was a father figure, you know, to me at the time. You know, and then, you know, when I departed to USA Wrestling, you know, I think he was just at a tough part of his career, where, you know, when you do anything for so long, it's hard to step away. And, you know, did I think he would retire at the time? I don't know. I mean, you know, he's talked about it for a few years, you know, but never really thought he'd pull the trigger on it. Just like, you know, it's like, so when that news broke about it, you know, a little bit of me was still in a little bit of shock and all, you know, of it. It's kind of just like one of those things. It's like, you know, what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You just don't know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. And, you know, it felt like it was abrupt. It felt like it was quick, when he did it. But he deserves it. He deserves to, you know, what he's done for the sport and what he's done for Oklahoma State. I mean, Oklahoma State, even though there was a rich tradition before it, he, among maybe a handful of people at OSU, has made that program, you know, a name that's known not in just the country, but throughout the world. Mm-hmm. You know, him being a six-time world and Olympic champ, you know, you could go to a village in the middle of Russia and people know who Oklahoma State is, because of John Smith. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I messaged with him. I just said, it was like, I hope you could finally get the rest you well deserve, you know? And I think that's like the one thing about it is that, you know, as a head coach, you don't realize, you know, as an assistant, you know, to them, and you look at them as a head coach, you know, you don't realize the things that they go through. You know, the type of stress they're under, the type of pressure they deal with, especially if you're a person that puts internal pressure on yourself, you know, like he kind of did. You know, it's definitely, as he steps away, or as he's stepped away now, and as my career keeps building, you definitely gain an appreciation, you know, for what he's done as a coach, but also how he managed it for so many years. I mean, I don't know any coach that has coached for over 30 years at an institution that every year is expected to win a national title. Even if your team's ranked 20th in the country, it's expected. So, that's
they'll be missed. It's definitely the end of an era for college wrestling. No doubt about it, for sure. But yeah. So Coach, before we wrap up part one here, I want to make sure. So I know you just like you said, it's been a whirlwind the last month or so. But do you think you've got your wolf hand down yet? You think you got it all figured out?
I think I do.
Let's go. There we go, Coach. Let's go.
Yeah, I was getting my kids. My kids have to be doing it now. Yep. So I have three kids. So we're they're finishing up school in Colorado right now. So yeah, they're getting their wolf hand down.
The biggest thing, at least for me, Coach, for sure, is I mean you can't be too straight. You got to have a little curvature.
You know what I mean? You gotta throw a little like make sure that nose is sticking out.
So maybe a little bit of NC State trivia just to see how much you know. So do you know who came up with the wolf hand, Coach? Do you happen to
know? No, I'm you know, I need to know a lot of that history. So who came up with the wolf hand?
Kay Yao, the legendary women's basketball coach. Yep, she's the one that actually brought it to NC State. There's some for you to know. So, definitely, learn as much about Kay Yao and Jimmy V as you can, for sure. Those are.
Yeah, I had a good history lesson with Coach Guzzle was in the room the other day when I was down there, and he was telling me, you know, everyone knows who Jimmy V is. I mean, you know, especially being an Italian guy from the East Coast, and obviously the run, mm-hmm. you know, to the national championship. So being able to hear stories from Coach Guzzle, like at the time with Jimmy V. And I think the one thing that, you know, the appreciation that I can take from NC State and hearing stories about Jimmy V is that the first thing they say about him was he was a great person. And that as a coach is something that, you know, when it's all said and done, that's the one thing like I hope that people would say about me is like, he was a great person. He was a great guy. He was a great dude. He cared about his athletes. He worked really hard for those guys. And besides of what he's done, I mean, I think that when people say that about him, that's something that you inspire, you know, to be as a coach.
Amen. I love it, Coach. Well, first of all, thank you so much again. So Wolfpack Nation, make sure again to get fully bought in here at NC State Wrestling, y'all. It's going to be an amazing time for sure. And just like Coach Esposito said, like, you know, we are here about stability, and I guarantee you heading into next season with the roster we have is going to be a crazy, crazy year. So make sure to go and jump all in, y'all. If you haven't gotten season tickets yet, make sure to go and do that right now. But with that being said, make sure to tune in for part two, where we start to talk about Coach Esposito's decision to come to NC State, talk about this upcoming season, his goals, expectations for this program, and we'll jump more into it then. But make sure again, for us, y'all, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. If you enjoyed this conversation, if you love NC State Wrestling, hit that like button. Make sure to give us a follow at Tuffy Talk Now on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, y'all. We'll see y'all for part two, and go Pack, baby.